nervous about this.
Oh, should we just dive right into this drink?
I guess so.
You were sweating by the end of it. You were like, I heard a sigh of relief when you were done making it.
I know. I've never done anything this complicated before.
It is eminently drinkable. It tastes French.
Ooh. Wow.
It's got a little...
It's got some kick.
It's got a kick to it.
Well, the 140 proof absent rinse. I'm sure...
This is one of the stronger drinks I think we've ever made.
Yeah, wow. What's it called?
It's actually called a Carthusian Sazerac. Is that how you pronounce that?
God bless you. A Carthusian Sazerac?
Sazerac, that's it. Yes.
Sazerac is a bad guy in a video game.
Yeah, something like that. So this is an actual recipe. I think the only thing I didn't...
I think we all knew you were working off of an actual recipe the way you were, like, meticulously, like, layering everything.
I need to measure this.
Yeah, so...
Is this an eighth? Is it an eighth?
So we were at the thing at Village Gate a couple weeks ago. The underground art whatever show. It's a bunch of, like...
Hipsters?
It's like an art festival where you go buy crap that people make, except it's more hipster. Yes, exactly.
So what you did is you went to a hipster slave auction that was underground. That's what I'm taking from this.
Something like that.
Okay, in the basement of the Village Gate.
At the Village Gate.
Okay.
Actually, it was upstairs at the Village Gate. But as hipsters usual...
Hipsters reverse of this underground. Is
one of the one of the vendors there was the Honeyway Falls Distillery.
Ah, haven't you gotten stuff from them before?
Yes, they make the
Devil's Bathtub
gin that I am so fond of. They also make a couple of different absinthes, and this is one of them.
I'm not fucking around.
Yeah, this is no joke absinthe. 70% alcohol. This is their Cascade Verte, or Verte.
Green.
It's a green. It's the green
Verte
stuff. So they actually were letting people sample it and buy it if you wanted to.
Getting plastered.
It was nice. So I tried this one. I really liked it.
That's good.
It's not as... They had the other one, which again is red, and it was more of the like a black jelly bean on fire sort of flavor.
Oh, wow, that does not sound good.
Yeah,
like much more licorice. Yeah,
yeah. Whereas this is a lot more going on in it. I think a lot more herbal stuff going on.
Nice. So shout out to
Honeyway Falls Distillery. Even so, the only use for this in this drink, the absinthe, is a rinse, and what that means is. You get a little tiny bit in the glass, swirl it around so that it's on the sides of the glass, and then pour the rest out.
Or into your mouth.
And then the rest of it is rye.
Mm-hmm. I saw chartreuse.
Chartreuse, simple syrup, and little bitters.
And a little love.
A little love.
Hi, we are buddies in space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi, and you are?
Jake Duell.
Jake. That totally sounds like a Star Trek, like a Klingon. You are Jake Duell.
Jake.
You must face me.
Do people ever call you JD?
No, they do not.
Would you like them to? Because we could start that.
We could totally. We have a listenership of 10 people.
Because of years worth of karate and everything, everyone called me by my last name for years. It was really weird when people called me by my first name. Even throughout college, I was Duell. So,
okay.
Huh. I never would think to call you that.
Yeah, no.
All right.
But for like the first 21 years of my life, I was called by my last name.
Even by your parents?
No. Okay. My parents called
me. We shall call him Duell. Hold him by his ankles. Cry, Duell. Cry.
No, they called me by my first name, but.
And your full name when you're in trouble.
Right? Yeah, yeah. They broke out the Laredo when I got in trouble.
Oh.
Yeah.
So welcome.
You what do you think of the drink?
It is good. It's got herbal... a little bit of a kick to it as it goes down.
It's like it's an herbal explosion for me here.
See, herbal explosion in my mouth. And like... I'm not even making a weed joke. this isn't going to get weaker either as it sits.
Mm-mm. No.
So we can all, even me, as rare as it is, we can nurse it a bit.
Yeah.
So, Jake, who the hell are you?
I'm one of your coworkers.
All right.
I don't know. What else do you want to know?
Just,
well.
You're a cool dude.
Where are you from?
I'm from Rochester, born and raised.
Nice.
Even went to college out here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Brockport. I traveled really far.
Whoa, whoa. Out of your comfort zone.
From Gates to Brockport.
That is at least a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, I mean, traffic gets really bad because there's not an expressway that goes all the way to Brockport.
Not the entire way.
So,
well,
you know,
I mean, the snow, you know. The
snow.
You're taking your life in your hands.
You learn the back roads, but yeah. I haven't really left Rochester. I've done a trip to New York, a trip to Minneapolis, but Rochester.
Did you go to the other Rochester? Oh, that's Minnesota.
No,
Minnesota.
But when we were in Minneapolis, we went to a Renaissance fair, and people were like, oh, where are you from? Rochester. Oh, so you only traveled about 2 hours to get here? No, New York.
Yeah,
a little bit further than that, so.
But they also have a weirdly Midwestern change to their accent. Steve from work, Cook, and I were flying back from a partner conference last year, and we almost ended up. We were talking and not paying attention, and we ended up sitting in the terminal for the Rochester, Minnesota flight and almost got on that flight. I mean, they wouldn't have let us on. Well, I don't know. They might have. I mean, who the fuck knows?
I think you would be surprised. You'd end up there and be like, this isn't Rochester, but this seems like Rochester.
It's warmer, somehow.
It's somehow warmer than...
It was December. All right, well, you know what? At least you're not one of those weird fucking Rochesterians who's never been to New York City.
Nope.
Because that is strange as shit to me.
There are people like that?
Yeah, a lot of people. I've talked to many. And
I think it's weirder
older...
for people to not have gone to Toronto because that's closer.
Yeah, well, I get that.
Have you been to Toronto?
I've been to Toronto.
Okay, well, it's good.
Wow. You were really sending them out for Philly there.
I've been to Toronto.
Phew,
I have family out that way. I've been to a wedding out that way, so.
Toronto's it's a cool town.
Yeah.
Very cool town. Mm-hmm. Makes a good double for New York for movies.
Interesting comic book store out there. On Young Street.
Silver Snail?
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
I was about to say Harry Tarantula, but that's poor
news. No. They have some comics. Well, Harry Tarantula's a close, the one that we went to.
Hairless Tarantula, anyway, like, oh, Cell 5. Wasn't that good? I admit it.
No. We like Toronto, though. So what did you think of going out west? Was that...
I loved Minneapolis.
Yeah?
I've heard it's a
good thing. If I had the option to, like, live out there, I think I'd do it.
Wow.
I mean, in theory, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Don't we have an office out there?
I think we do now have an office out there. It's not as easy as just up and moving, but...
It would be tough with a two-year-old. And is your wife from the area?
Yeah.
Oh, she... yeah.
Also born and raised Rochester.
You got some roots.
Yeah. I got roots.
You got roots.
I got roots in Rochester.
Dang.
For a while, she wanted to, like, live in New York and do the whole New York thing.
Fuck
we
that.
Didn't end up doing that.
Yeah, you're better off.
Trips.
Yep.
Most of the time, we didn't even stay in the city. We stayed in Long Island, took the train in.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I have friends in Long Island, so when you can stay for free.
Oh, yeah.
On a couch in Long Island.
I read really, like, a good adage from Vice Magazine years ago when they first rolled out Vice Magazine. I was living in Brooklyn. And they had the do's and don'ts issue, which is a super hipster. Like, we know what's right and what's wrong, so just listen to what we say, because it's Vice. But they had a really good point. They said, don't try to argue with your friends about what city's cooler, New York, LA, Chicago, whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. Wherever you have the most friends is the coolest city to you. So, like, that's all that matters. But I will say that New York is awful, in my opinion. So no matter how many friends I still have
there. I've never stayed there longer than a week.
That's why you're still alive, my friend.
I think. And even the time I stayed there a week... We were only in the city for like 2 days of it. We went camping out at Montauk on the beach.
It's not something you hear and go hand in hand with New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went down to New York and went camping.
Well, Montauk, that's way out there.
Yeah,
way out on the island.
My wife has a friend from Long Island who has a campsite, so we went out there.
Did you get on the Downeaster, Alexa?
We took a train out there. We drove out and took a train back.
Billy Joel reference, so it wasn't that good. Look, I'm not zinging them today, all right? Now, look, so I kept hearing, when I was in college at Geneseo, I kept hearing Rochester's a boomerang city. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but whatever. I think it scared the shit out of me because I was a small town. Like, I was from Oneonta, which is a smaller, barely a city. And I went to Geneseo, which is a tiny town, for college. So going to Rochester was terrifying for, like, theater trips and stuff. But living here, then going to New York, I was like, could not wait to come back. I need Rochester-sized city or smaller. And all the stuff it's got going on that's not city, that's what I want. So I defend this city.
And now here you are in the burbs.
Yeah.
You're a burber. or something like that.
I'm a suburbanite. Suburbanite.
Suburbanite is probably
more. I live in suburbia.
Commonly used term.
You do live on the better side of Rochester, too.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Gates, went to Spencer Port, and then moved out to Brighton.
Okay. All my people, the Itais are up in Greece. I'm surprised I'm not in Greece. I feel amongst my people.
My mom's Italian, so she grew up on J Street area, then moved to Gates.
Okay. I don't know J Street.
That's right downtown, right? It's a part in the city you don't want to go to.
Oh, is it the seventh most dangerous neighborhood in America?
I don't think it's the seventh most dangerous, but it's dangerous.
That's where the City Pound is, right? Somewhere around there?
Possibly?
I think it's right around there.
I don't know. She grew up in the Lyle area where they're trying to bring back Little Italy now. Did you hear about this?
No.
There is a part on Lyle when you're closer to the city that there's like a really old Italian restaurant in, and that's where all the Italians used to live.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it was Little Italy years ago.
Huh. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
And now the city wants to bring back Little Italy.
Can you just decide that, though? Be like, hey,
this was Little Italy. Come back here.
But there's nothing else there.
No, there's nothing. And it's like that odd area of Lyle where you probably don't want to be there too late at night.
Yeah, I've actually been to that. It's like in the house.
Yeah.
The restaurant?
You're like, there's a restaurant here? You have to know where it is to know where it is. But yeah, I've been to that. It was odd. Just you know, because there wasn't like another restaurant or anything around there.
Yeah, there's nothing like over there, but that's where all the restaurants, the food places used to be. Huh. And they want to bring back Little Italy, but I don't know what's gonna happen.
So they want to take a certain ethnic group and force them to live in a small area. I feel like there's precedent here that's not good, but it'll come to me, guys. It'll come to me. No, did you know that the seventh most dangerous neighborhood in America is within a 10-minute walk of our office?
Really?
Yep.
No, I did not know that.
You do now.
Awesome.
I wouldn't want to be near our office at night either.
It's getting better. MCC's there.
Is it?
Yeah. In the Kodak building.
Oh, shit. Someone took over the Kodak building?
Not all of it. So when you're looking at the Kodak building, there's the tower.
Okay.
And then on the left side, if you're looking from our office...
Mm-hmm.
Used to be a whole bunch of offices. That is now MCC Metro Campus. So
remember we used to joke that we'd take over the Kodak building?
Yeah.
Seems we're growing, you know.
Kodak is probably the scariest building in the whole city when you catch it just right. Because it's got that red light at the top of the tower. So if you catch it just as like the sun's coming up and it's foggy, Kodak building looks evil. So
Eastman's still alive. what a sad story. It's just so sad.
So sad.
Just not being able to, like, being such a leader in technology and building a whole city and a whole industry and then not keeping up long enough. It'll happen to Apple someday. It happens to every technology leader.
I feel it's happening to Apple as we speak.
You're not talking about the HomePod, are you?
No, I'm just talking about, it seems like, since Steve Jobs has passed,
Apple's
innovation has become more, well, those guys are doing it, right? Iterative.
Or copy. Well, what I don't understand is that it was like the minute Jobs was in the ground, it's like, oh, let's start doing 2 iPad releases randomly a year. Like, why? Why? No, don't do more. Have a reason, guys. You, of all people, know to have a reason before you upgrade something. Yeah, that's gone away.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the HomePod?
Yeah, go ahead. You talk about it.
Well, you see, you got shit. Yeah, well, you got particular glee about it when I told you about it yesterday.
I'm amused by it.
All right.
I am amused.
Are you keeping up with the HomePod?
Don't know if I know what the HomePod is.
Okay, so you can Google Home, right?
Yeah.
And Echo. So the Google Home Max, did you hear about that announcement?
No.
I'm very excited for this. So what I had originally wanted the Google Home to be was like a kick-ass speaker with a smart assistant. It's not. It's an okay speaker with a smart assistant.
Yeah.
So they're releasing for a ridiculous amount of money. I've been saving up for a couple months to be able to pay for it next month. Like a massive, super-powered, audiophile, machine learning-powered speaker. So it's like if you put it in a corner, it listens and changes the way it broadcasts sound. And then if you move it somewhere else, it changes again.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's creepy as fuck, but it's cool too. So... and it also acts as a home base so that it gives you Sonos capabilities with any other Google Home devices in your house. But you need to have that one as the base. So Apple, for a while, was like, oh, we're going to do the HomePod. It's our Apple version of Alexa and Google. It's going to be so good. and it's going to come out in time for Christmas. It's not coming out in time for Christmas.
No.
And I think it's actually the smart move, because they said it's not ready.
If it's not ready, it's not ready.
So they could have rushed it to market and then totally screwed the pooch and never recovered. Or they could start with even less market share and try to claw their way in. I mean, Amazon's the Goliath. They have 70% of the market share.
Sometimes it's the right thing to do, though, to pull back.
Yeah.
Our product's not ready.
Get it ready.
Get it ready.
So, I mean, but I think they're fighting an uphill battle, because it's 70-30. It's 70% Amazon, 30% Google. That's the whole market.
It's tough because they're both, I mean, both Amazon and Google are getting better every week.
Yeah.
It seems like.
They literally are, yeah. They're just rolling shit out constantly to make their stuff better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, talk about copying and playing catch-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the new Google one doesn't really... I guess it sort of depends on what your home is like, because that doesn't really... It doesn't do much for me, because I can just tell the Google Home to play something on a Chromecast device on my actual stereo and have it sound wonderful.
Right. But how many stereos do you have?
One.
Right.
But I only need one because it's a big open.
Well, you've got a weird house that like channels sound a very.
Yeah, yeah.
All I'm saying is you're lucky your house isn't haunted. All right. yeah, so that's the whole HomePod, you know.
But for some people, sure. Fine. Sounds wonderful.
I just want to be able to have my hands covered in raw meat and be able to tell my fucking speaker to play a song and make it sound good. That's all I want. It's my. And I have that, but I want it to sound better because I'm American and I'm never satisfied. And I want someone to take my hard-earned money for me.
It would be nice. I don't have any of the Alexa, any of that.
You know, in a couple days, you can get them dirt cheap.
I know.
Okay. Just are you someone who doesn't like the always listening thing? Because I totally understand that.
I am bothered by the always listening thing, but I have seen the ads that show up on my phone and know that I'm always being listened to anyways. It's just one of those things I have not invested in. But it'd be nice to be able to... I was over at a friend's house on Friday, and we were playing D&D, and they were remote controlling our Mozart as we were playing through the Alexa. So.
Yep.
Okay, now I have to stop you, because you say we were just playing D&D. Were you actually playing D&D, or were you really playing Pathfinder?
No, we were playing 5e. I normally play Pathfinder, but we were playing 5e.
I wanted to clarify that, because a lot of people, I think, would say, just... I'm playing D&D when they mean I'm playing any one other thing.
Even when I play Pathfinder, I generally say I'm playing D&D. But in this case, we were playing 5e D&D.
Wow, did you guys just whip out your nerd dicks? And just lay them on the table? This is my office. I fucking work in here. Where's the dick spray? God damn it. I left it upstairs.
So let's go super nerd for just a minute and give us your opinion.
Oh, boy.
On the differences, positives and minuses, between Pathfinder and 5e. Go.
I prefer Pathfinder.
Oh!
If you're an experienced player and know what you're doing. Because Pathfinder is so open source, like, you can find really random things and start merging them together. Like, if I wanted to, I could create a skin changer who's a witcher. In Pathfinder.
Fuck yeah. All right. Skin changing? So wait, a Doppler?
No. So in this class, it's more like a skin changer is closer to a werewolf in that you pick an animal and that's what you can change between.
A lycanthropic Geralt?
Okay. Yeah.
Just making sure.
Wolf, bear, things like that.
Gotcha.
5e, if you're just starting, it's really simple to create a character. So it's a much better system for people who are playing for the first time.
Didn't they sex it up? Like, in terms of streamlined it, made it...
Oh, yeah, it's super... Apps stuff, like... There's apps. Character creation takes maybe 30 minutes.
You go... That's the best part. I used to just create
characters. I want this, and this. Okay, I'm this class. I get this equipment. Done.
Do you still roll for your stats?
Depends on who your DM is.
Okay.
There's roll or points buy. So the last game I played was points buy.
Okay.
So... But you can still roll.
Oh, man. Getting that awesome, like, 18 charisma, then, like, 2 strength.
Yeah, but then that defeats the whole point. If you're just, I'm going to roll, like, 10 times and take whichever one comes
And that's why
best.
He had us do points by, because I rolled initially, had a sweet character. Nothing was below 14 on my character. With points by, like, you're going to have a low stat, so.
But you gotta, I mean, either you do super, like, vanilla, middle of the road, right? Yeah. Or you start to concentrate.
On something.
Yeah.
So.
It's fine. All right. So you would, as an experienced player, you prefer Pathfinder?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Are you satisfied with that response, Spike?
Yeah. I was just curious. I haven't played any of the more hardcore role-playing stuff in years and years.
A dog's age?
Yeah, a dog's age.
I'm trying to find someone to play Fate Core, which is a very simplified system. It's a D6 system.
Oh, wow.
And it's storytelling-based. So, like, the DM comes with, this is the outline of the story. And as the characters start building, you start getting more story elements from it.
Like improvised?
It's a little more improvised. So, like, Will Wheaton has his show, Tabletop. Mm-hmm. They did it for Tabletop.
Okay.
And
I'd imagine they'd be pretty good at that.
They were really good at it. At one point, one of the characters somehow travels in time and comes back with a dagger. And the DM's like, oh, you have a dagger now. And he goes, can I add something to that? And he goes, sure. The dagger's head at the very end of it is the skull of that player. And he goes, perfect, add that. So somehow you traveled to the future, ended up with a dagger that's the...
really unwieldy dagger, though. Yeah. Skull. Was it a tiny skull?
It had shrunk to have shrunk, to, yeah. But they added that. So it was interesting in that it's much more improvised.
I'm really uncomfortable with you using my skull as a weapon. Just want to put that out there. It doesn't make me feel good. I feel a little violated.
It's a microaggression.
It is a microaggression.
Actually, I think that kind of is like, that's like straight up aggression. It's not a fucking macroaggression.
That's interesting. We've been talking about playing, it's an actual board game, you probably heard of it, Time Stories, T-I-M-E
I have Stories. Not.
It's a board game. It's mostly card-based, but it's meant to be... as close to an RPG, or an actual role-playing game, as a board game like this can get.
But you said it's like a one-time
play. It is, and that's why, because it's a campaign.
So you play it once.
Yeah. And that, one of the things is that you... So the cards get laid out for each room that you go to, and the backs of the cards are actually... They form a panoramic picture of the room. So one card might have, like, a refrigerator on it, another one has a chair on it, another one might have a picture of a dog on it, but they all like lay out in like a nice panoramic complete picture. And so the different players take turns. Okay, I'm going to go talk to the dog, I'm going to open the fridge, I'm going to go see what's under the chair, and then they look at the cards, but they don't show anyone else what the card is, and then they have to like talk about what they found.
Talk about their feelings.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see anything under the chair, or like, you guys don't want to know what's in the fridge. This dog is talking to me. Okay.
Oh, must add a couple of these drinks.
Yeah.
I just listened to How Stuff Works about making board games, and they interviewed the people who created the Thing board game. So it's a board game
based on
the
John
movie,
Carpenter's The Thing.
The Thing.
Now that's okay.
And I want to play the game so much. So I guess it's 4 to 8 players, but they said it works best with 8.
Wow. So is this a game that's actually available?
Or yeah, it came out like last week. I think. Oh, so okay. Cool. It's brand new. And you are at the other research site from the movie.
So it's the second one? So it's the prequel movie? There's 2 movies now.
Yes. I think it takes place in the original research site. And
okay, so it's Thing instead of The Thing.
But right? They called it The Thing Attack on whatever the...
Yeah, the Scandinavian guys.
Yeah. And the point of the game is, at the end of the game, 4 people have to get on a helicopter, and you want those 4 people to be human.
Yeah.
If one of them is The Thing, you've lost.
Right. So this is already sounding very much like the Hidden Role games.
Yeah, so it's got
and
some
also
secret
a little bit of Battlestar kind of thing.
It's got some secret Hitler elements to it. Just and I guess there's 3 phases to the game, and each phase it's potential that a player that was human now becomes a member of The Thing.
Right.
Mm. So like they were talking about playing it, and one of the times one of the players became a Thing in round three and knew from testing another player's DNA that that other player was also a member of the thing. And then he got the flamethrower and had to decide to kill someone. And he goes, so I killed the other thing, because why would the thing kill itself? Obviously, I'm human.
Right.
So they took me on the helicopter.
Anyone.
And they I lost. Won. Yeah. Right. So it sounds like a lot of fun, but I want to try it.
Yeah.
It's
like
$80 though. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It'll come down eventually.
Yeah.
Wait it out.
Yeah, we generally like the hidden role, Resistance, Secret Hitler, and what are the other ones that we've... I know there's
the Ultimate Werewolf. We really do the
Ultimate Werewolf. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We go all out for that. I go all out for that. A very loud cat.
It's funny you should mention that, this is a stupid aside, but on the website BoardGameGeek, I'm sure you are familiar.
Yes, I.
They have a lot. They have some of the forums dedicated to actually playing games, and I played several Resistance games online on it.
That's cool.
And we started doing. I think this is the first one, and I had an idea. Hey, let's do a Resistance game in the forum, but let's have a theme for it. So I was the dungeon master or whatever. So I knew everybody, and I set up the theme for it was a kind of a cross between the thing and Alien.
Mm.
So instead of just Resistance stuff, it was layered on with that Alien
mythology and...
yeah theme, and everybody got into character for it, and they stuck to their characters and
in the forum.
Yeah, in the forum. And it was a really cool experience.
That is cool.
So there, now I really want to play this game that you're talking about.
There is a subreddit that is a Game of Thrones storytelling subreddit where like they have a list of available houses that you pick, and then you become the lord of that house, and every post you have to be posting you know, I'm Lord so-and-so of such house, and there's events going on, and I'm like, that is so much dedication, because you got to keep up on other people's posts to know the lore that's happening.
That sounds like the Reddit version of the Society for Creative Anachronisms. Remember that old thing from years ago?
I don't.
How old are you?
I am 28.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe a little before your time, actually.
No, they're still around. I think they're still around.
But, yeah, but, I mean, I remember people talking about it. I mean, I got 8 years on you. He has more than 8 years on you.
Thank you.
He's got, like, 8 years on me. Right? I'm nice to you for once. Only when we have guests. You're muffs.
I hate you.
But, yeah, it was all, like, people with lords, like, titles and, like, landed. It was the same people who did the LARPing. So it was that crowd.
Yeah.
But the
subreddit
bigger,
is... Yeah. Right. LARPing in a way.
Right. I think it's the same mindset.
So is there any sort of game to that, or is it just story?
I don't think it is. I think it's just storytelling within the world of the Song of Ice and Fire. Huh. And I've checked out the subreddit and I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. Oh, this is too much dedication. This is way too much.
I have
much.
A child. Fuck no.
No. Like, give me a video game that I can drop when I need
to. Right. And has an ending.
Right.
Those are the things I need.
So
it's, it's like a chance for everybody to Mary Sue the whole thing.
I'm a cipher. So what do you guys think? What do you think of the Lord of the Rings prequel thing?
Eh.
It seemed desperate to you, or like Amazon's so desperate to come to the party?
Well, so Amazon has some great television.
Yeah.
As it is. Man in the High Castle, I absolutely love it.
I haven't seen the second season because I have not heard good things.
I liked it.
Yeah, I heard it in an action show.
There are action sequences to it, but it's still got its mystery and intrigue to it.
Right.
It's not super action-y, but there is definitely one episode that... But, I mean, things happen.
Well, the first season was really slow.
Yeah.
Really slow.
It's... Faster in season two.
Yeah, it was slow sci-fi. It was why Blade Runner will never happen again, because apparently we can't have nice things in this country.
But
sorry about
Lord of the Rings prequel.
If you really want to, just read the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
You know what? Turns out it wasn't really that interesting.
There's so much great TV on right now.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. Had a show that they put on Shudder. It was 4 episodes long.
What is it based on?
Apparently some of his short stories. They made four of his short stories into like hour-long TV episodes.
Huh. That's cool.
And I really wanted to watch it. So I found VRV. It's a new streaming service. Mm-hmm. It's got Funimation, Shudder, and all that. It's like, oh, cool. Free month of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sign up for the free month and watch the Neil Gaiman show.
Sucked in.
Last week was my last week of the free month, and I never watched the show because other shows were on TV.
Yeah. We're waiting to do American Gods until the break with all the shows going on hiatus. Mm. And then we're going to sit down and
binge it. American Gods. A couple weeks ago, we discovered The Good Place.
Oh, yeah. You got me into The Good Place.
Yeah.
Netflix. Power watched that, and now we're keeping current on Hulu.
Yep. That's
all right. So are you up to date on The Good Place?
If there was an episode last week.
No. We're on hiatus.
You've seen Derek.
Derek was
yes,
the last episode.
I am up to
love
place.
I love Derek.
I am up to place very on funny. Derek. God, so. Yes.
So I think the last time we talked about it, we just watched the second episode of the second season, mm-hmm. which was the one where they just run through all like 100 different possible episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of the best shows I have ever seen of anything.
After the end of the first season, you're like, "How?" I'm trying not to spoil this. How can you top this?
How do you keep this going now?
But then the first season, first episode, of second season, I was like, okay. All right, I'm totally still on. And then the second episode, I'm like, holy shit. They just fucking won me over.
Yeah.
I am.
And I was so nervous after that. Yeah, I was afraid to start to watch after that. But
It's so good. And then I convinced my wife to start watching Future Man with me.
Yeah, we're a couple episodes in.
I love it. I think it's great.
It's funny. It's not.
It's not
crude funny as I thought it would be.
Talk about this a little bit because I haven't watched it. I'm curious.
Okay. So it is less, and they say this on the show. It is less Starfighter meets like Terminator.
Yep.
Meets This Is the End.
Yep.
So there might be some ejaculate on someone's leg by accident, kind of humor at times. Very video game centric, at least initially.
Yeah.
But it's. It's a silly time travel show where the time travel is like, they kind of openly say in the trailer, like, it doesn't really make that much sense.
No, it doesn't.
But it's like the future's fucked.
So we're not talking Primer here.
This is not Primer. This is not you need the XKCD comic where it lays out all 47 different timelines.
This is very much future's got messed up. Dude beat a video game.
People came back to
make him the savior. Totally shouldn't be the savior.
No one knows what the fuck they're doing. And
nobody.
Oh, and really ridiculous race interactions.
Oh, yeah.
In the past.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you're like, I want to cringe, but at the same time, it's really funny.
Because
it just makes us look like idiots as white people. I'm totally cool with that.
The one scene with the guy from The Hunger Games trying to explain why sneaking back into the party by taking the mud and covering themselves.
Operation Blackface.
Right.
How it's not right. Yeah.
Was like, oh my God.
Because they get that like blank slate thing with the people from the future obviously like struggle to survive. So they don't know anything about current times. It's all been lost. So they don't understand like any of, anything about political correctness, much less just basic
any
human decency.
Social norms, anything.
So like they're constantly, because it's Seth Rogen and company, they're constantly kind of pushing the envelope of like, let's have them suggest something that's obviously awful and then have this kind of more like mainstream actor try to walk it back. And it's funny because he's so pain, like, no, you can't do that. There's a good amount of that.
Yes.
The Bill Cosby thing was funny. Hey, do that impression with Bill Cosby where he talks about putting Spanish Fly in the drink. Oh my God, he said that?
And then
they're back in the 60s.
You did that joke so bad, I don't like Bill Cosby. Good, you should keep that.
What does Bill Cosby have to do with Jell-O? You'll know. So there's a lot of that kind of humor. It's funny. I don't know how long how many episodes in are you?
I've got 2 episodes left. I think it's 14.
No, we're only 2 in.
Episodes total.
Is the video game thing even, is it just like 1 episode's worth of?
The video game thing kind of goes away.
Okay, yeah. So I had a feeling that people might avoid it because they think it's like a video game show, but it's really not. It's the last Starfighter setup, and then I think.
Yeah, that's what it's, they go back to the video game store at one point, but like that's the literal extent of.
Well, the two people at the store are like pretty well-known comedians.
Yeah,
so there's funny stuff there.
So, But that's a good show.
You know what? So we have hour shows and we have 30-minute shows. And we constantly struggle to have 30-minute shows because we obviously use them up quicker. Right. So it's a good one to like kind of stick in between like The Walking Dead and Mr. Robot. We're like, we need a mindless break right now.
I had to step away from Mr. Robot. We tried watching season 2 and it lost me. Like partway really? Through season 2.
Oh.
All
right.
I loved season 1, but I had to step away.
We haven't gotten into it, but I've heard that it picks up after that. That they...
It's a show I feel like really hit that sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm. You need to stick with it until the end.
Okay.
I just remembered why you... So, did it feel off?
Something felt off.
You need to stick with it until the end, because it all makes sense.
Okay.
And it's all what you're feeling... is a very good reason why you're feeling.
Yeah, I've heard stuff like that. I don't know what's going on.
They took a gamble with a narrative choice that lost some people, but if you stick it out, 100% makes sense at the end. And now season 3 is dangerously towing the line of possibly going sci-fi. And so there's a lot of discussion online, like, are they really going to go there? Like, that seems crazy.
I'm fine with that. That would.
I think Sam Esmail could do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really, like, if it's not going in that direction, they are just fucking with us.
Okay.
Because they are just spoon-feeding you hints that this is exactly where they're going. I mean, they basically said, like, had one episode where they're like, look, here's a time machine. And you're like, no. Like, I don't feel like I'm ruining anything because it's so ridiculous that you're like, I don't really feel like you guys are doing this. But that is a fucking smart show. Like, I was trying to do some Black Friday prep last night. While watching the latest episode, I'm like, fuck, like I'm missing the Fight Club style cigarette burn kind of things that they do in that show where it's like a blink and you miss it sort of thing. Mm. I'm like, oh shit.
I will have to say, I think it was in season 2, there was like a 2-minute speech by Rami Malek in it.
Rami Malek?
Yeah, when he's just coming off like drugs and he's at the religious group. And he goes off about God.
That was
amazing.
I remember that.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah. And everyone just sits there. Like the whole the therapy group just sits there and listens to it, including the person running it. Yeah, I remember that. It's a good show. Dude, please give it a chance and then talk to me when you're done. Because you're going to be like,
I'll have to find out so that we have me shows. My wife shows, and then our together shows.
Yep.
We were doing Mr. Robot together. I'll see where she is. Mm-hmm. If that's going to become just something I watch.
Just be like, listen, I know you've only had a couple drinks with Mike and don't know him that well, but he swears that there's payoff at the end of season 2. Not even the end. Close to the end. Where it all makes sense.
I just started Punisher today as my next
I need to audition show. It. Erica needs to audition it because I get to watch it alone if she doesn't like it. And I'm kind of like hoping it's all action so I can be like, yeah, I just need a show. That'll have a show. Because Rebel's so good. But Rebels is on hiatus.
I've heard interesting things about it. Haven't watched it, obviously, but it's a problematic show right now.
Because it's completely divorced from the Marvel Universe?
Because it's a guy who's going around shooting people.
Look, in the 90s, it was totally fine.
And it's, you know, it's kind of an issue.
It's incredible how times have changed where something like The Punisher is like, yo, that's not cool. Like, people can agree that this is not cool.
So there's an issue there, but from what I've heard, they do their best to address that and you know, make that. Yeah.
Well, the last like 3 weeks were kind of rough for the going around shooting people, you know, crowd.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or great for the going around shooting people crowd, depending on how you think of it. So
it's interesting how our comic book TV shows are now needing to tackle gun violence.
Well, somebody's got to.
Power watched Arrow season 5 after dropping it after season 4, and they have.
How would you drop those abs? He's got 12 abs.
It's not his abs. It was that love story in season 4
I have zero idea anything.
Okay.
But all I know is they brought back Constantine for one episode. I will watch that episode someday.
They had a gun violence episode in season 5.
Wait, on a show about a guy with a bow and arrow?
Yeah.
that's just a little weird.
So just to give you some backstory, at the end of season 4, he gets elected mayor.
Of course.
So now he's mayor. Isn't he rich? The Green Arrow. He lost his money, I think. Somehow still has money because his sister started a nightclub and got a whole bunch of money.
Wait, now this just sounds like Luke Cage. Wait a minute.
Like, okay, they've made jokes about it in season 5. They made him Batman. Okay. He is Batman in the Arrow show.
I bet.
Because they can't have Batman. Like, at one point, there's a scene.
The rights.
Like, it, well, it's not that they don't have the rights because it's a WB network. It's that Gotham they wanted to.
Or no, that's CW. On
Fox.
Oh, shit. Network drama.
But they wanted to keep Batman for the movie universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they didn't give him Batman. So there's a scene where he's in Russia. And he's wearing a hood and doing his stuff. And he goes, what, you wear a hood? You wear a stupid symbol like bat. So they make fun of the fact that he's pretty much. But he's mayor. City Hall gets shot up. He's trying to write gun legislation. And it's a whole episode about how difficult gun legislation is in the middle of season 5.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds not a fun thing to watch.
It was probably the worst episode of season 5, well being like the best episode of describing how gun culture is in America right. at the same time. So,
well, okay, so they could show that as an educational thing.
Yes,
don't judge the show by this, but let's have an open dialogue after.
So, it's somebody following the show, do you think it had come to a point where they're just like, we have to say something about this?
I think the creators
I think the creators
just finally were like, this is a problem that we need to try to tackle. He doesn't use guns, but other people on his team use guns, and people get shot up all the time in the show and die, so...
That's it is a comic book show. Yeah. So, all right, let's dive into this a little bit.
Oh, all right.
Just for fun. At least we didn't start with sexual harassment like last episode. I was editing that, I'm like, why did we... Oh, my God. Like, right off the bat, we went there.
Charlie Rose now.
Did we keep that in?
Yeah, that was, like,
yeah.
2 hours ago.
All right.
Charlie Rose is now 8 allegations against him.
Damn. Yeah. I can't keep up.
Nope.
Fuck. Well, all right.
I thought that was a very interesting take or perspective that you had on that.
Yeah, no, I kept it. I like had zero issues with talking about that openly. Yeah, it's fine. But I feel like I've had this conversation with lots of people lately, gun violence and what do you do? Because it's always like, well, how do you fix it? So I will give you my take and then you guys can pick it apart because that's right. What geeks do, right? So my take is, I've read a lot about the Dunning-Kruger effect, the ignorance begets ignorance of what you don't know. That psychological thing. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I don't think you're using the right names.
It's
but it's
Dunning
something like
Keg
that.
Or Cunning yeah. Deg. It's I don't know something like that. It's two names, one the K, one the D. So I understand why conservatives tend to be how they are. And be very generous here. So we have a history in this country, right, where we love our guns, and we have a very specific, very archaic reason why we love our guns, right?
Depends on how you want to look at it. I think the main reason is that the NRA is pushing it and the gun industry is pushing it.
Right, but I'm going back
propaganda
before
being
that.
Put out by the gun industry.
Right, to very susceptible people. I'm saying the reason you can point to the amendment that gives you the right to bear arms doesn't really apply anymore.
Yeah.
Because we aren't under the rule of the British and they're not trying to take our guns away. I don't think anyone can actually argue with me on that.
From a political science major standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Throwing it down.
I believe you are
again
correct.
Again with the dick. Jesus Christ.
There was a very specific reason the Second Amendment was written into the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That it is written so vague that it's questionable whether or not they are talking about guns as a separate thing, as maintaining a militia or being able to have guns maintain the militia. I think the reason it was written so vague is you couldn't get the people from the 13 colonies to agree on anything.
Right.
The Constitution is our second form of government because the Articles of Confederation failed.
Right.
So I believe you're right. There is a reason it's written into that. Also, personally, I don't think any of the founding fathers could have seen semi-automatic weapons and nuclear bombs happening.
Of course not.
So it's hard to apply a law from the late 1800s to
2017. Right.
Yeah. And I think that there's a more conventional argument that it's that the law is there so that people can defend themselves on a personal level.
But that's a modern take
on it. It is. And yeah. We'll get the political science opinion on this. but yeah, I think that's a very modern take, and that the original intent was that, yes, everybody should have a gun because, well, we need to round up people and go off and do things as a militia. You need to have your goddamn gun to go with.
Right, because we didn't have a standing army at the time.
Well,
true. Militias were very important at the time. Thank you, Erica, for bringing this up in a conversation like today. First one to listen to the podcast every time. I have to put that in there.
But the idea that you have a right to have your gun so you can protect your personal property from somebody who's trying to, you know, steal your piggy bank or something.
Giant piggy bank with a big dollar sign on it.
Your plasma screen TV or your OLED or whatever.
It's OLED. OLED's the only one anyone cares about.
Your Google Home units.
Keep your fucking... From my cold, dead fingers.
But that is... It's not anything like what the original intent was.
Right.
Would you agree or disagree on that?
It's hard to tell their original intent, but I would say what we have now is not what they were intending in writing the Second Amendment.
Okay.
So,
You're the expert in the room.
I don't think that they had intended on
having... As ever being this...
People that happy. Could walk into a store and walk out with a gun that if they pre-ordered their bump stock could become a semi-automatic weapon with no training on the weapon. No background check, nothing. You just happen to live in the state that has that gun law and were able to do it.
Bada bing.
So, I also think the NRA has also changed over the past 50 years on what the organization is.
Is it anything other than just a tool for the industry to sell
more
guns?
It is now the gun lobby. The NRA of the 1950s was about training and gun safety and all that. That is not what the organization is today. The organization today is purely about how do we keep gun stocks up? How do we keep sales up?
So the NRA is people who invest in and are the gun manufacturers, the gun vendors.
They are paid by the gun manufacturers. Yeah. If you watch any of the recent ads they've put out, they look like Terminator movies. They're like in black and white talking about these others that are coming to take your and how you need to be armed to protect yourself from the machines. They even got, like, I think they paid to get I am John Connor. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
Wait, the end of Terminator 3? Really?
No. Salvation.
Okay.
Doing the Batman voice.
Oh, Christian Bale.
Doing the Batman voice.
Guys, can we take... I need to go beat my wife or my mother and sister. Hold on. Okay, and cut.
Wow.
Too soon? Okay, so let's play a game. Smike, how do you fix the gun problem? A game, because this will never...
All right. Keep adding more stringent gun laws in different states. I mean, the myth is... The myth being put out there by the NRA and the gun lobby is that gun laws don't change anything. That stronger gun laws don't equal less gun violence in states that have them. Mm-hmm. The truth is they actually do decrease gun violence in states. And one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest causes of gun violence, I'm probably not saying this right.
There was a really big cringe there as you said
it's that. It's not the guys running around shooting other people. It's people shooting themselves with guns.
A four-year-old just killed his two-year-old sister.
Yeah. It's not even that, though. I think suicide is probably the largest number of
gun-related deaths.
I could be wrong. I know it's very high. And people will say, well, if you're trying to kill yourself, you're going to find some other way to do it. That's not true.
No, guns make it a hell of a lot easier.
Because guns make it so much easier. You pull the trigger and it's done. Whereas other ways that people will try to kill themselves
rarely are as successful as
they'll have shot. Like, yeah, they'll be faltering attempts. They'll be picked up after that. People will say, oh no, you're bleeding or something.
You cut your wrist wrong. I see the cuts. Okay. You didn't die. It's a cry for help.
I mean, not in a sickly way, but that's true. If you have a gun and you have the suicidal thoughts, it's you're done. But if all you have is like a steak knife,
you're not as likely to be done.
Yeah. You're probably not going to die right away.
Well done.
And you will be picked up. And by a friend or family member or authorities, you'll have a chance to not die that way.
So what you're saying is the only thing more dangerous than gun suicides is that Japanese forest where everyone dies who goes there.
Sure.
You know about that?
Vice had an awesome 15-minute YouTube documentary about that.
The Japanese forest?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they followed a forest ranger.
Uh-huh. Wait, there's people actually are forest rangers there?
Yeah, so his job was to go into the forest and try to find people who were still alive and convince them to leave the forest.
A little bit.
So, like, as they're following him, they found a skeleton. Jesus. And he's looking at it and he's like, based on the decay, I'd say probably 10 years for and it had a letter. And then he found someone alive. He was camping, but he was camping like in the middle of a trail. And he said, usually with people like that, if you're camping in the trail, that means you want to be found. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're not.
It's a cry for help.
You're crying. And he goes, and I can't force them to leave, but I went, I talked to him. I tried to convince him to leave. Whether he leaves or not, I won't know.
That's weird.
But yeah, it was dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very a spooky dark. Fucking place.
Yeah.
It's like where you go to when you want to die.
Yeah.
Woods in Japan. Japan's crazy.
What is it? San Francisco? Wow. The bridge has the phones, like, every...
You heard my story, right?
No.
About that?
No.
Yeah, I was in San Francisco in June, and I was walking the Golden Gate Bridge in the morning before a wedding, and I walked out, and it was fine. I was listening to music, walking out, and I was walking back, and it was just in my own world, and this isn't going where you think it's going. I had no idea about the suicide rate and the issue with the Golden Gate. I had no idea about this. So I was walking in. I had my Bluetooth in, my music, and I accidentally killed all my apps on my phone. I cleared all my apps. I'm like, oh, fuck. So my music turned off. So I'm walking and I just stop. And I'm like furiously fiddling with my phone trying to get my music back. And I look up and there's two cops, like bike cops, right in my face. I'm like, where the fuck did you guys come from? And they're like talking to me with really soothing tones and asking me really stupid questions. And I'm like, are they racially profiling me? What is going on here? And then I found out later, they probably... like, thought I saw them, started to panic to send a suicide text. I was about to jump. And I'm like, I just want to listen to my Spotify and keep walking, guys.
I just want my music.
But yeah, multiple people told me, oh, by the way, that's probably why. I was like, oh. Okay.
And that's Mike's happiest memory from that trip.
And that is my happiest memory from San Francisco and why I will never fucking go back. So that's, okay. So, Jake, how do you fix the gun problem?
Oh, not simply.
Wait, this isn't a simple issue to fix?
No, this is not a simple issue to fix. Unfortunately, it's something that we need to have national legislation on. Because okay.
State-based, like Smike said.
Not that you can't have state legislation, but as long as you have the state next door to you having laxer gun laws...
And lobbying to break intra-state regulation.
You know, and... you need something nationally that is probably end up going to take the Supreme Court doing or something that, says these are the background checks that are needed. No loopholes through gun shows where you can sell to someone right away. Mm-hmm. These are the restrictions, how many days after you make your purchase before you can pick up your gun.
Okay.
And these are the guns you can have. And then from states... from there, can say even more restrictive gun laws.
So set the bare minimum restrictions. You can only make them more stringent.
Right.
Okay. From there.
Set, it has to be this, and this. And that's got to be the first step to getting all the states the same. Because New York has pretty strict gun laws. Yes. But I'm pretty sure we could drive 3 hours into Pennsylvania and
coal country.
Get out with something a lot more powerful than what we could get.
Yes. But New even York. So, I think New York has lower than the national, well, you can fact check me on this, lower than the national average for gun violence, I think.
And most, and the places they try to use,
fact check it right, I believe you,
to say that gun violence is so bad, Chicago and stuff, when you look at a per capita,
yes,
it's actually not that bad.
It's not. Well, but yeah, when Illinois you say, as a whole is lower.
When you say, well, yeah, 500 were shot last month. Well, when you have a couple million living there, it's completely different than saying in a small town, one was shot in the past year out of 1,000. So it's not something easy.
All right. That makes perfect sense to me. I'm not going to fact check you because I'm not immediately thinking of how to phrase it. I don't know why we need guns, so I say get rid of them all. I'm not joking.
That's funny because I remember having a conversation with you just a day ago.
Yesterday, where I said the same exact thing. Mike, I've thought a lot about this since we were changing
No,
tires.
we were having a conversation about climate change of all things.
Yeah.
And
it was a really light conversation.
Going to shit.
When geeks, you know, do things like change tires on their cars, you talk about weird shit.
Just thinking of the jumps that it takes to get...
Well, when you shoot a gun, it makes the climate warm up.
Oh, okay.
Well, we were talking about climate change, and we talked about how the part of the country and the world that we're in, and the very specific location we're in right now...
is going to be very desirable.
Yeah, this is going to be hot property.
And it'll also be beachfront property.
Yeah. No. I want to buy a whole bunch of land about 20 miles from the beach and just be like, future beachfront property.
For a couple of years.
Yeah. Time to get in now.
And one of the big concerns for the future is that because of where we are, because it's going to be a very, very desirable, very valuable area, if violence happens, it could be people who are like, I want what you have.
Mm. To which I replied, yeah, and now for the first time in my life, I'm considering buying a gun.
I thought you meant that.
I do mean
serious
that.
About it. Okay.
I do mean that. I also know that statistically, as I said then, statistically, the chance of having an accident that's related to gun death in your home goes up exponentially when you have a gun in your home. But here's the thing. If the other guys can't have guns, I don't need a gun. I'm dead fucking serious about this.
Right.
I know
it's ridiculous.
With you. I know it sounds ridiculous. It's more my case to the audience of 10. But I'm dead fucking serious about this. I don't care about hunting. We've more or less destroyed Mother Nature in this country. I don't think we need to really kill anything else at this point. Sorry.
The deer can be really fucking annoying.
Yeah, that's what cars are for us, Mike. We do. You know what? I think we're really good at killing deers with cars. My brother in particular. But if the bad guys don't have guns, then the good guys don't need guns, and then you don't need guns. I mean, seriously, I know it sounds ridiculous. You take that step back and it's like, well, no one has guns, and you don't need guns to fight guns. It's just done.
So there's a writer that I really enjoy.
I think you said writer, but it's not like you said raider.
No, writer.
Yarr.
Writer. His name's Joe Hill. It's Stephen King's son.
Wait, did he write that comic?
Lock and Key.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely love Lock and Key.
Yeah, Lock and Key is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Yeah, we love that one.
He just released a short story book last month called Strange Weather. All
right.
And one of them is a story called Loaded. It's about gun violence.
Hmm.
And it is amazing. And at the end, you are left questioning whether or not he's pro-guns or anti-guns? The way the last sentence, you're like, huh. Okay.
All right.
So, check out Loaded in Strange Weather by Joe Hill.
It's a good, is there anything you want to promote? Anything you want to talk about?
Anything you're looking forward to coming up?
Anything.
No, I just saw...
Tech-wise or entertainment-wise?
Okay. If Casey by chance listens to this... One of our former coworkers.
He'll only listen to it because I tag you in the post on Facebook.
He's going to be really angry at this because we already debated this on the group. But I saw Justice League, and I think it's better than Age of Ultron.
I didn't think Age of Ultron was that good. So.
No,
it's not high praise.
But he was like, what? How could you say it's better than Age of Ultron? It was fun. It wasn't
great.
Trailers
make it look like shit, so okay.
Much better than the trailers make it look like.
Do you think Whedon saved it?
Yes, except for Superman's lip.
What
was that? Wait,
they did reshoot
the mustache thing?
The mustache thing.
Yeah, I heard about this.
It is so noticeable.
It's like CG covering the mustache.
Yeah, so they did reshoots. Henry Cavill was shooting another movie at the time.
He had a mustache.
He had a mustache. The studio wouldn't let him shave his mustache. They did the reshoots with the mustache, then used CG to remove the mustache. So
weird...
he has a CG upper lip. And it's so noticeable.
The movie.
It's so noticeable. He's like in scenes and you're like, that lip just looks wrong.
Is it like the faces in like Rogue One and all that? It's like the Uncanny Valley or something?
No, because those were at least the whole thing was CG.
Okay.
This is his face, CG right where his mustache is. But Joss probably in reshooting it, re-editing it, save the movie.
Why couldn't they have...
I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, he's been out for a while. Why can't he have grown facial hair?
Because he was in the middle of shooting the other movie when they did...
Kryptonians don't have facial hair,
but
Mike.
What?
Wrong.
Zod?
Superman has a beard in one of the books, and I think he had to use a kryptonite razor blade to shave it off. I'm not 100% sure on that fact.
You are right about
think...
Zod, too. Yes. Okay. All right. I got out nerded. I got out geeked. You guys win. I'm sorry. Shit.
I never thought of that. He must like have, oh, thank God for these crystals that my dad gave me in the rocket or whatever.
I feel so sick when I do this.
Ouch. It gives my hand burns, but oh, it shaves so good.
And he,
the best.
Every morning with a crystal.
It's like the Santa Claus. Like he shaves it. okay, so I have had the trailers for Justice League have so divorced my interest from that movie that I have like zero expectations. So I will see it probably on Blu-ray eventually. So maybe I'll end up kind of liking it.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat.
Batman vs. Superman was...
I had a friend who wanted to see it for his birthday, so I indulged him and went and saw it in the theaters. And enjoyed it.
Did you see Thor?
Yes.
Did you like it?
A lot, except for Anthony Hopkins acting on the hill. When he was Loki, he was amazing. But those scenes on the hill,
he was funny,
especially after watching Westworld, it's like, you're phoning this in.
Yeah, he's
you don't want to be... in this scene.
I just kill my character. Yes,
just let me die.
Well, to be fair, his lines were garbage in that.
Yeah.
But they
pulled influences from Jason Aaron's current Thor run, which is one of the best comics right now running. Wow. That and Scott Snyder's Batman and Batman Metal. But I want Jason Aaron's villain Gore the God Butcher to be in a Thor movie, but I'm just worried he's way too dark for the current Marvel universe.
Well, Taika Waititi would not handle it very well.
No, that movie was very light compared to...
Yeah.
Mike was not a fan.
I was... Really? I love Taika Waititi. I love What We Do in the Shadows. I love Hunt for the Wilder People. I love the episode. I love all of... Flight of the Conchords, which he directed some of. I genuinely love everything he does, except Thor. I thought it was horrible.
Really?
Within 10 minutes, I was like, I don't like this movie.
No.
Zero character consistency with anything that came before. Pointless, frivolous, silly, stupid. Wasn't as funny as they said it was. Guardians of the Galaxy was way funnier than that movie. So it just sort of was like a limp noodle to me. It just didn't own anything in particular. And it was really, really like two-dimensional. Like the Scourge character, like these guys are just fucking stupid. Everything was telegraphed. I think I'm in the minority here.
I liked it. There were problems with the movie. The villain was not well done.
I didn't understand what the hell was going on with her. She just throws sharp things.
Yeah.
With infinite amounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't make her feel like she was a threat, but Thor wasn't dealing with her for most of the movie, so.
No. He was often fucking what's his face.
Yeah, I was really mostly disappointed with the scenes with Thor and Banner and Hulk, I thought that would have been more interesting than it was. And I think Mike was right, because you said it looked like there was stuff missing from this. And I agree with that. It's like they jumped to him being like roommates with the Hulk. And it felt like there had been, they'd established a relationship, but there was no evidence for that.
It was like they brought Michael Bay in to do editing at times. Like there were like I know enough. I'm not an actor, right? I'm a failed actor. I'm the first one to admit that. But I have a fairly good, better than average understanding of like how editing works. Like both have done it and having studied it. And like there are really egregious errors or like breaking of rules in that movie where it's like you can't edit, like you can't do multiple edits where you pass seconds and then you suddenly have an edit that passes 3 hours. But they do that in that movie. And I'm like, no.
Well, the whole thing was...
I would say from the battle to when they're in Hulk's room,
yes,
it felt like...
What the fuck happened?
A day? Maybe 2 days?
Yeah.
But all the edits previous and after didn't like give you that 15, sense of time.
20 minutes, an hour here.
But then that was a huge jump. They jumped to Thor saying, I gotta go leave and take care of stuff. And Hulk is like, I don't want you to leave. And they're like, where did this come from?
What?
Did they like hang out for a month and we just missed this?
Yeah. And Taika Waititi cut a half an hour out of the movie. I think he just took a scalpel and went kind of crazy with it. And it's like, dude, I know you're trying to be the anti-Marvel movie, but Guardians already did that.
I really hate that Marvel had... DC, I think, going with the extended cut for Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad was too much. But I hate that Marvel has their directors cut the movie so much and then doesn't give us their cut of the movie.
Yeah.
On the Blu-ray. Like... Give me the extra half hour. There's
a
reason why
the director's cut is a thing.
Right.
You know, and sometimes it is a better movie. A lot of time it isn't, but at least it's fun to fill in the gaps.
Someday I will find and be able to watch the director's cut of Knights of Badassdom, which was a horrible movie.
Erica, we hated that.
No,
it was a horrible movie.
Erica listened to the podcast with the director.
And apparently there's a different cut. That is a completely different movie.
What?
Apparently Kurt Russell saw it and said it's funnier than the original Ghostbusters.
So the director, he was on prescription medication.
So we saw this and we hated it.
Yeah, it was an awful movie.
But
the director didn't edit it like the company financing it did. It's basically, so you know what it's like? It's like Highlander 2. You know what I'm talking? You know the history of Highlander 2?
I don't, but it should never have been made, so we could start.
But there is the Renegade cut of Highlander 2 that's a much better movie.
Oh, but that's like that was made after the fact.
But it was because the original cut, the theatrical cut, was edited by people financing the movie who didn't know anything about editing. They said, oh, well, this is kind of like, we don't want to fund this anymore. We're just going to stop the movie and we're just going to cobble together what we can. So he did go back and film stuff that didn't get filmed because they ran out of money. All
right.
And put that back in. I need to see that because that's such a bad movie.
So just backstory. We saw Darkness Rising, loved it, and we're hoping for the same sort of thing.
Vibe with from Knights of Badass.
Knights of Badass.
Have you seen Darkness Rising?
I have not.
It's the second movie, so isn't good. It's a sequel to something,
I think. Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, you should check it out.
You really need to see that.
Yeah, if you're a D&D player and you like funny fantasy, you're going to like it.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. I think there's more than one movie in that series. But Knights of Badassdom, we have to ask Erica. She listened to the whole podcast with the director, but she was like, yeah, apparently there's a whole other movie that like just you can't see.
It's out there somewhere.
It's just floating around. But yeah, the financiers or whoever took over. And he's like, yeah, it wasn't my movie anymore. And he's like, I tried to divorce myself from ever being associated with it. Which is like, wasn't that what the guy who directed Fantastic Four said too?
Yeah, he did three episodes of Smodcast with Kevin Smith and was supposed to do it a fourth episode. And like 2 days before the movie came out, shit hit the fan on that. He bad talked to the Fox
Cod. Yeah, I remember he was talking shit about it.
He stepped back from doing the next Smodcast to promote the movie because he's like, this is not the movie
He saw a cut somewhere in there.
I saw.
But he didn't Alan Smithy it?
I think it's been harder to Alan Smithy your movies now.
Huh. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, when you see a movie where the director is named as Alan Smithy,
and there are many movies over the years that are directed,
that by means Alan the Smithy. Director's like, I don't want my name attached to it. I am going to use this other name and put this in as the director's name,
right?
So that my name is not on this.
And it was a rule in the Directors Guild, the DGA, that you could do that. But yeah, I think there are.
Yeah, I think it's been harder to remove your name from a movie.
Well, I mean, just logistically with the internet.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot harder to cover that up now than it used to be. But yeah, that's weird. Did you see Blade Runner?
I did not. I did not plan on seeing that one in theaters. It's one I wanted to see.
You should see it in the theaters.
In the theaters?
If you can. It's almost gone.
Well, they reopened Movies 10.
I know.
I bet.
If it goes to Movies 10, it is a critical darling and a box office failure. But watching it, Eric and I saw it the other night, it's like watching a just series of paintings. It's gorgeous. And the dialogue is great. The story's like, all right, this is a thinky sci-fi movie. But the fucking cinematography's. Because it's the guy who did The Arrival, you know?
It's based off of Philip K. Dick.
It has nothing.
But those are always thinky sci-fi pieces.
But it's like, it's kind of two different things. It's like, you could go for that and you could probably be let down. But if you went for it, like, as a fan of cinematography and color, fucking amazing. And sound. Like, it's just, on a technical level, it is such an incredible movie experience. And it's almost 3 hours and it doesn't feel like it.
Wow. It seems like a poor decision to make that, because I think everybody feels like Blade Runner was more of a success than it was.
Well, in 30 years, people forgot that it was the exact same thing. Critically, it was critically acclaimed and it did shit at the box office. And this the exact same thing. It's like, well, yeah, 30 years and we'll pump a ton of money. We'll totally not repeat history. Oh.
I mean, 3 hour movies are a hard thing to pull off. I went and saw Django Unchained. In the theater.
Mm-hmm. In the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would have wanted it.
I loved that movie, but there was a point where I go, okay, this is where the movie ends. Wait, this isn't where the movie ends? There's still another 45 minutes after this? Okay, Quentin, pushing it a little too far here.
Oh, Quentin's in it. Oh, he's doing a terrible accent.
Yeah.
Someone kill... Oh, okay, good.
That's how I felt with AI, only it wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, but my mom has the greatest quote about that. We had it on a quote board in college. She saw it with my brothers, and I was talking to her about it, and she just got so angry all of a sudden. She goes, How could you add an ending to a movie that it didn't need that makes people want to kill themselves? It's just irresponsible. She was so mad. I was like, Mom, that was amazing. Yeah, AI. But that's what happens when you, like, switch directors, right? Or something like that. Or the writer who's going to direct it. I don't know. Well, we're doing pretty solid on time here. Jake, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
It was fun.
Did you have fun? Good.
Yes, I did.
Is there anything else you wanted to get out there?
No. Not really doing anything else right now.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We normally have people trying to promote something. We're totally not helping them.
Anything to promote, so...
Okay. Well, thanks for coming and drinking booze and hanging out with us. We are Buddies in Space. You are?
That's Michael Smith. You are?
And Michael Carossi. You are?
Jake Duell.
Our special guest.
Take JD. It away.
JD.
JD.
Duell.
Yeah, Duell.
Jake. Take it away, Melanie.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
So it's Future Man, right?
Future Man. Yeah.
Futureman.
I think his name is Futterman.
His name is Futterman.
Yeah, so the show's name is Futureman.
And his, I think what it is his gamer tag.
Yeah,
is Futureman.
Okay.
Yeah, and so like he's playing a game that no one's ever beat. So you've seen The Last Starfighter, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it is, I mean, he,
years ago.
you remember the crux of the
plot. Yes, sure, of course.
I bought that movie on Blu-ray for my father.
I don't see how that's going to help things.
It was a movie we watched and I was like, I really like this
it's
movie.
It's a fun movie,
Does it hold up, though? When's the last time you've seen
it? I did not.
I showed it to Erica a couple years ago. Ask her on your way out.
Got it on Blu-ray.
I can't imagine.
Have not watched it since I bought it for my dad on Blu-ray.
Okay.
But I bought it for him. It was a Black Friday special. $5
Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, there you go.
I got a couple of those. I'm starting to buy 4K now.
Hmm.
For the projector.
Ah.
That I don't own for another couple of years. but I'm
and ready. By that time 4K will be a thing of the past.
Right. I will only now buy formats after they're done. Like it worked out really great for me for HD/DVD, so I figure I'll just repeat that with 4K.
Last Starfighter is also probably going to get a surge in popularity when Ready Player One comes out. Because they mention.
It's going to get two shout outs and things in like a very short period of time.
And people are going to be like, what's this Last Starfighter movie?
But a lot of things are going to get shout outs in Ready Player One. Did you ever read it?
I didn't. You wanted it back.
Stupid
so
son of a bitch. Yeah, I need to read it before the movie comes out. Yeah. Erica bought it for me. Loved it. Was like, dude, you need to read this. Which I have a long history of doing that and him not reading it. House of Leaves.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, though. But, yeah, so I'm excited for the movie. I'm also kind of scared because the trailer didn't look that good.
I'm scared because of how much they're going to have to change.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to adapt.
Because I was already reading an article about the stuff they mention in the
book
is stuff that WB doesn't have royalties to.
Right.
So, like, there's just a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be changed because
it's
of that.
Stupid politics shit.
Yeah. Apparently, WB didn't have the rights to Rush, the music of Rush.
Oh, wow.
And Rush is...
That's a big problem for that movie.
Huge. Like, there is a whole segment of the book that is a telling of a story in a Rush song in the book.
That would be like if you were making American Psycho and didn't have the ability to play any songs by Huey Lewis in the News. It's pretty much that intrinsic to the story.
When the trailer came out and they had Tom Sawyer in the trailer,
uh-huh.
I was like, okay, so they got the rights to
that doesn't mean
the Rush music. I wouldn't be surprised if WB went and bought Rush's catalog from whoever owned it just to be able to have it.
But sometimes the trailer song doesn't end up in the movie.
But Tom Sawyer's not the song in the book.
That's true. Okay.
So
the 1001001.
It's the 22-minute song from 2112 that tells the story of a guy defeating a cult by playing music.
Their version of Tommy.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, I need to read it again.
I'm excited.
It's Spielberg.
Concerned, but excited.
It's Spielberg.
That means it's going to be a Spielberg movie.
Yeah. Well, for all the good and bad that entails.
Yeah.
You'll get to it. It is an amazing James Cameron episode of Future Man.
Really?
Oh, it's so good. So good. Eat my-